My favorite app right now is an app called Waze. Any of you have this app on your phone? Oh, many of us do. This is a great app, and let me tell you why. It's a social media GPS app where real people will give you real-time updates on what's going on in your journey. So it's more than just a navigation system where you plug in your desired destination and it tells you where to go. Now you have a network of people that are speaking into your journey that help you get there along the way. So if there's debris in the middle of the road, now you can know that the debris is there because other people will mark where the debris is located. Or if there's a lot of traffic in the road, or if there's heavy construction, or if there's a police officer hiding under a bridge, now somebody's there to speak that into your life and to let you know what's going on. In fact, in those places, a voice will come over the speakers in your car and will tell you where those things are located. And here's the thing. With this app, you can actually choose the voice of wisdom. You can choose the voice of the person that's going to speak that wisdom and truth into your life along the journey. You can customize it really however you want. That voice can be the voice of a man. It can be the voice of a woman. The voice can have a British accent, or it could even speak Portuguese. In fact, now with the latest updates, you can now have a boy band sing the updates to you in your car. And Waze took it to another level recently. They made it where you have the ability to download your own voice into the system. And so now, did you hear that? Your voice can be your voice of wisdom. Your voice can be the one that speaks the updates into your life and speaks the updates into your journey. With all that being said, let me ask you a question. What voice are you listening to today? What voice are you listening to as you navigate this thing called life? Is it the voice of a parent or a child or a sibling or a friend or a coworker or a mentor? Or are you listening to the voice in your head? You see, we all have a tendency to listen to voices, voices that are around us, voices that are close to us. In fact, most of us listen to voices that we have access to on a day-to-day basis. For many of us, we listen to a parent or a friend. And the reason we listen to parents is because we have access to our parents or our kids. Some of us say, well, I listen to my friends. And the reason is because your friends are there. Your friends are always around. We listen to the voices we have access to, the voices that are close to us. But let me remind you of something as we begin our time today. Right now, you have access to the voice of Almighty God. You have access to His voice through His Word. And in His Word, we receive His wisdom in some of the most important areas of our lives. So for the next several weeks, that's exactly what we are going to be doing. We're going to be tapping into His voice and searching for His wisdom in some of those key areas of our lives. And we're going to be predominantly camping out in His book of wisdom, the book of Proverbs. And so if you have a copy of God's Word with you today, I invite you to open it up to the book of Proverbs. We're going to be camping out in that book this morning and really jumping all over the book of Proverbs. Now, this is a book that was written primarily by a man named Solomon, the wisest king to ever rule, the wisest person to ever live. And I say that he was the wisest of all time because there was a moment in his life when he asked God for that wisdom. And the Bible says that God granted him his request. He wanted that wisdom to rule God's nation. But the purpose of him writing this book was to teach wisdom to God's people. And that's my prayer for us as we navigate through this study, that God would give us his wisdom in some of the most important areas of our lives. Today, as you can already tell from the video you just saw, we're talking about God's wisdom for friendship. His wisdom for friendship. Now, this is a subject that applies to every single one of us today, because all of us are friends. All of us have friends. All of us understand friendship. You say, why is friendship a part of all of our lives? And the answer is very simple. It's because God made you that way. We were created to have friends, but we were also created to be friends. God didn't create us to live in isolation. He created us to live in collaboration. The Bible teaches that you and I were created to be in fellowship with God and also be in fellowship with one another. So when I think about how God created us, this is the picture I get in my mind. You ready? I think of us as Legos. We're all like Legos. We were not intended to be all by ourselves. In the same way, a Lego block was never intended to be by itself. No, if it's going to fulfill its purpose, if it's going to live in the way that it was created to live, it's going to be connected to other pieces. And we in the same way have to be connected to other people because we were built to be a part of a greater whole. That's us. We weren't designed to be by ourselves. We weren't designed to live for ourselves. We were designed to connect with God, but also to connect with other people. But you know as well as I do that sometimes we have a tendency to connect to the wrong people. We have a tendency to connect to the wrong people and to do our own thing. We have a tendency to cling to the wrong things from time to time. And so the question I want us to begin by asking today is who or whom should we be connecting to? What are the people? Who are the people that God wants my life to connect to? What does a true friend look like according to the Word of God? And so that's the question we're going to attempt to answer this morning by opening up to God's Word. And we're going to ask the question, what does a true friend look like according to the Word of God? If you're taking notes this morning, here's the way it's going to work. I'm going to give you six attributes of a true friend according to the Word of God. And I encourage every one of you to take notes this morning. Write it on the back of your bulletin. Type it in your phone. Remember these things because these are coming from the Word of God and they apply to us today. What does a true friend look like according to the Word of God? Let me give you number one. A true friend is one that is wise and points you to wisdom. Growing up, my parents would always tell me, be careful because you will become like those you spend time with. Some of you grew up hearing that same thing, but believe it or not, your parents didn't come up with that on their own. In fact, it was Solomon that said it a long time ago in Proverbs 13, verse 20. He said, the one who walks with the wise will become wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. Some of us had to learn that the hard way, did we not? A companion of fools will suffer harm. I learned that when I was in elementary school. When I was in the fourth grade, my family moved to a brand new city, which meant it's time to find some new friends. And that's tough when you're in the fourth grade. I can remember going to my brand new school, not knowing anybody. Nobody knew me. And I went to school thinking, okay, today I've got to find my friend group. So I walked into the cafeteria with that in mind. I'm looking at all the different tables of the different students that are making up those tables. And I'm thinking, do I want to be friends with that table or maybe this table over here? But then I identified the table that I could see myself fitting into. These are all guys that they were laughing and they were cutting up and they were having a great time. Probably a little bit too much fun at lunch. And I thought, man, if I could just sit at that table, be a part of that group, then it would be great. Come to find out, that wasn't the greatest table. Those weren't the greatest of guys. They used language that I didn't use. That they were doing things and saying things that I didn't do or say. But I knew that those guys were cool, and I knew that they were popular, and I wanted to be cool, and I wanted to be popular, so I just made it my mission that that's the table that I'm going to sit in. That's the friend group that I'm going to be a part of. And I decided that in the fourth grade. Now, the bad news is it took me 2 years before they allowed me to sit at their table. It took 2 years of working hard just to be accepted in that group of people. It's hard to move to a new town when everybody's clicked up and nobody has an extra seat at their table. And this is one of those cases where I was like, listen, it's worth it. I need to be a part of that group so I can be cool and I can be popular. Now, I told you it took me 2 years, and it did. I remember right before we started the sixth grade, I got an invitation to the ringleader's birthday party. And this is a big deal. I'd been working hard for this for a long time. And so I was excited about this birthday party, but I knew that going to this party meant that this was like a tryout. I had to perform. This was my opportunity to show them that I'm cool and I can be popular. And so I went there. There was a camp out at one of their houses. And I can remember the birthday party. It started out with friends and family. You got grandma and grandpa there, cake and presents. I'm thinking, this is just a typical birthday party. We're wearing birthday hats. People are blowing kazoos. And it was a great start to the birthday party. But everything changed when the parents went inside for the night and the sun went down. Now it was a different ball game. This was not your average sixth grade birthday party. Things were being said that shouldn't be said. Things were being done that shouldn't be done. And in fact, finally, the ringleader, the birthday boy, said, hey, I got a great idea. His property bordered an interstate. He said, let's go to the cliff overlooking the interstate. I've got a project for us to do. It's in the middle of the night. But we all march through the woods and we go to the edge of this cliff. And he said, here's what we're going to do for the next 30 minutes, hour. We're going to take these red clay rocks and we're going to throw them at semi-trucks when they drive by on the highway. And everybody's like, this is a brilliant idea. I'm thinking, y'all are crazy. We're going to throw rocks at cars? That's a horrible idea. But that's exactly what happened. Every time a semi-truck would come by, they would take turns, one at a time, throwing these clay rocks at semi-trucks. And then they would lock up their air brakes and they would squeal in the middle of the road. And they just thought it was the funniest thing ever. I'm thinking, we're all going to be in big trouble pretty soon. But then after about 30 minutes of these guys doing it one after another, the birthday boy realizes that I haven't thrown a single rock. And he said, hey, Jordan, it's your turn. We've all been doing this for a while. It's your turn. Let's see if you have an arm. Let's see if you can hit a vehicle. I don't think you can. And they start trying to egg me on a little bit. And I'm thinking, man, this is my moment. But this is a really bad idea. They said, we're not even going to wait for a semi-truck. I tell you what, next vehicle that comes by, it's all yours. And I'm feeling the pressure. This is that moment in my life where I'm like, it's do or die. I've got to make this happen. So next thing you know, I see headlights. That's all I can see at this point. I'm rearing up. I'm stretching. I'm getting ready. I know this is a big throw. It gets a little bit closer. It gets a little bit closer. And I throw that clay rock as hard as I can. This is one of those slow motion moments in my life, right? If this was a movie, like you would hear my heart beating. You could hear, you just see the rock going. And the next thing that we heard was this. Check it out. Glass breaking. That rock hit the windshield of a vehicle. That was the first thing that we heard. Glass breaking. The next thing we saw were red and blue lights flashing on top of the car that I hit. I hit a sheriff's deputy in the middle of the night. The next thing we saw was that vehicle do a U-turn in the middle of the interstate, pull onto the property, and then he got a spotlight on the side of the car, and he starts picking us off in the middle of the woods as we're scrambling like chickens with our head cut off. And so now we got light beams cutting through the woods. We got middle school boys running all over the place. And now you've got two police officers running through the woods, grabbing a hold of these kids, locking them up in handcuffs. And then you've got me just standing there crying like, oh my goodness, right? It's one of those moments that I'll never forget. And believe it or not, they showed us a lot of grace. But they gathered us up. They had just a moment where they just laid into us. And then they called our parents one after another in the middle of the night, so they didn't show us that much grace. But I'll never forget that moment. I'll never forget standing there in a circle of those guys thinking this thought. How in the world did I get here? How did I get to this moment in my life? I thought, you know, if I would have stayed home tonight, this wouldn't be happening. But I allowed my friends, I allowed this circle of influence to absolutely pull me down to a place I never thought that I would be. Here's what Solomon's saying today. Walk with the wise and you will be wise. But walk with fools and you will be a fool. This applies to us today. It doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what your age may be. This applies to us today. And who you spend time with, the people that you walk with, it matters. And the reason I say it applies to us today is because it's true for us today. If we spend time with a circle of people that gossip or curse or drink or do drugs, guess what? The chances are very good that you will soon do the exact same thing. But on the other hand, if you spend time with people in that close circle that love Jesus, that share their faith, people that are encouraging, people that are generous. The Bible says you, my friend, will move in that direction as well. What we're talking about here from Solomon is the principle of association. And he's telling us that the people that we associate with are going to move us. They're going to influence us. And so with that being understood, he's saying, make a cognitive decision to spend time with people that are wise, because when you spend time with wise people, they are going to move you towards wisdom. Now, some of you hear that and you're thinking, well, man, I'm in big trouble. I can already see some of you starting to panic. You're thinking, I can't spend time with people unless they're wise. I can't go to work tomorrow because I work with 100% foolish people, right? That's not what he's saying here. He's not saying skip work. When he's talking about walking in this proverb, he's talking about those that we consider to be close friends and those that we get counsel from. He's saying, make sure that those people, those close friends, those counselors in your life are people with wisdom, because they're going to move you to wisdom. C.S. Lewis said, the next best thing to being wise oneself is to live in a circle of those who are. Your circle matters. God says, befriend wise people. Don't befriend foolish people. Make sure that the people that you have close to you are going to point you towards wisdom. So that's number one. Let me share a second one with you today. A true friend is one that picks you up when you fall down. It picks you up when you fall down. Where does that come from? Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their efforts. For if either falls, his companion can lift him up. But pity the one who falls without another to lift him up. Solomon also wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And in this passage, he's talking about the concept of companionship. And he's saying that life is better lived with a friend. Life is better lived in companionship. But the question is, do the people that I consider to be close friends, are they the people that are going to pick me up when I fall down? Or are they people that are going to kick me when I fall down? Some of us have had friends on both sides of that. Have you ever had a so-called friend like that? A friend who just happens to be there every time you slip, every time you fall. And it's almost as if they are strategically there in that moment just so they could capitalize on your misfortune. Have you ever had a so-called friend like that? A friend who says, oh, no, you can trust me. No, I'm a good friend. But as soon as you make a mistake, they're there to stab you in the back. The other day I had someone say, as your best friend, I will always be there to pick you up as soon as I'm finished laughing. That's the kind of friend I want. There's a big difference between a friend who laughs at you and a friend who laughs with you when you fall down. And that's what Solomon's saying. He said, when you fall down, surround yourself with friends that are going to laugh with you, not laugh at you. Let me give you a third one here. Ready? A true friend is one that loves at all times. Not sometimes. A friend loves at all times. That's what it says in Proverbs 17:17. We previously talked about the principle of association, but this proverb right here is talking about the principle of presence. It's saying that a friend should be more than just a safety net. A friend should be someone that is intertwined with you constantly, someone who is always there. It reminds me of the friendship that we see in Scripture between Jonathan and David. I read that this week in 1 Samuel chapter 18. It said, when David had finished speaking with Saul, Jonathan was bound to David in close friendship and loved him as much as he loved himself. You see those words? As much as he loved himself. Verse 3 says it again. Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as much as himself. That's a unique kind of friendship love. That is a constant phileo love. And during some of David's darkest moments, it was Jonathan that was there. And it was his presence that brightened up his day. When everybody else was abandoning David or turning away from David or leaving David, Jonathan was the one that was pursuing him. You say, what does it mean to really love at all times? I mean, that's a big ask, is it not? I mean, love at all times? But that's exactly what it means. Two things come out of this. Number one is unconditional love. What does it mean to love at all times? It means that you love unconditionally. Which basically means regardless of what happens, regardless of where life takes you, regardless of the circumstances, love stays the same. You get that? When things are going really well, when things are going not so well, the love that you show, it doesn't fluctuate. Love stays the same. Love is consistent. And so that's the first thing I think of when I think of loving at all times, is unconditional love. But the second thing that we see is unwavering support. It's unwavering support. Everybody's going to act like your friend when things are going great. You win the lottery this week. I was watching the draft. All these kids are being drafted, surrounded by hundreds of people like, you're the best. That's great. But what happens when they go bankrupt? Those people aren't there anymore. And that's the same with us. Listen, when things are going great, we're surrounded by people who say, I'm your friend. But when things turn south, that's when you find out where your real friends are, right? Have you ever had a friend that's a fair weather friend? See, Jonathan was the opposite of that. It's because a fair weather friend isn't a friend at all. And some of us have had them throughout the years, and we can testify a fair weather friend isn't a friend at all. Adrian Rogers spoke about that once. He said it this way: life is like a ship. Some people get on and off board very easily. Some will stay on board as long as everything is sailing smoothly, but let the rough waters come and they will abandon the ship. A true friend is the one who will stick with you. God's word tells us a true friend is a friend who loves at all times, when the waters are calm, but also when the waters get a little bit rough. Let me give you another one. Number four, a true friend is one that sharpens you and makes you better. Sharpens you and makes you better. Where does that come from? Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, and one person sharpens another. Have you ever actually seen iron sharpen iron? You ever seen that before? YouTube it. It's fascinating. It's pretty intense. When iron sharpens iron, here's what happens. You have two pieces of metal, and these two pieces of metal get fired up. I mean, to the point where they are glowing hot. And once they get to the point where they are fired up and glowing hot, then those two pieces of metal collide with one another over and over again. And as a result of that collision, they each become sharper. They become better. And I tell you that so that when you read this proverb, you don't read it like this. Don't read it like two people come together and hold hands and walk together, and as a result, they get so much better, sharper, stronger. That's not what it's saying here. That's not the word picture he gives us at all. He's saying a true friend is willing to get fired up every once in a while. A true friend understands that they're willing to collide if a collision's being called for. And as a result of that, they understand that it's going to make them sharper. It's going to make them better. We've talked about the principle of association and the principle of presence. This right here is talking about the principle of challenge. He's saying a true friend is not afraid to challenge a brother or sister in Christ if they see that a collision is being called for. Proverbs 27:5 says, better an open reprimand than concealed love. The wounds of a friend are trustworthy. Do we get what he's saying here? He's saying a true friend isn't afraid to look you in the eye and to call you on the carpet in love. A true friend isn't afraid to hold you accountable and to keep you in check. That's the picture he gives us here of a true friend. Now, some people hear that and they're thinking, well, man, if that's what a true friend looks like, I don't want a true friend. I don't want anybody calling me out. I don't want anybody keeping me in check. I don't want to have a collision with my friends if I step out of bounds or if I enter into sin or do something that they know is against the Lord's will. I just want people around me to cheer me on and to encourage me and to meet me where I'm at. I don't want judgy friends who are going to call me out if I'm in sin. Listen, it all goes back to the voice that we listen to. The voice that we choose to listen to as we navigate this thing called life. And Solomon will tell you, if you want to do this right, you better listen to the voice that's going to challenge you. The voice that's going to say, stop doing what you're currently doing. You need to reroute right now because you're going in the wrong direction. And sooner or later, if you continue to go down this path, you're going to arrive at a destination that you don't want to be at. That's what a true friend does, according to the word of God. Oscar Wilde said it this way: a true friend is one who stabs you in the front. That's a true friend. You say, well, how can I be a friend like that? How can I be a friend that challenges my brothers and sisters in Christ? How do I do that in love? Is the best way for me to do that just wait until we're in small group and just bring it up in a public scene? When they mess up, should I just go to Twitter or Facebook and drag them through the mud and reveal all the garbage that they're involved in? I mean, what's the right way to stab them in the front? You know what it says in Matthew chapter 18? It says, if your brother sins against you, go and rebuke him in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. So when you look at the word of God here, you have to agree, we cannot be offended if a true friend comes to us with a concern, because that's what God calls us to do as friends, as brothers and sisters in Christ. Solomon said, surround yourself with people that are willing to stab you in the front, willing to tell you the truth, even if that truth is a reprimand that wounds you in love. Let's look at number five. The fifth one here, a true friend is one who forgives. Can I get an amen on that? Listen, we need forgiveness, don't we? Anybody stumble or fall, we need forgiveness because we are imperfect people. And the Bible says a true friend is one who forgives. Proverbs 17:9 says, whoever conceals an offense promotes love, but whoever gossips about it separates friends. This right here is talking about the principle of forgiveness. And what Solomon just said is very important. I'm going to read it again. He said, whoever conceals an offense promotes love. What did he mean when he said that? I believe what he meant was this. I believe he's saying that true friends are generous in extending grace. They're generous in extending grace and covering up past offenses against one another. And so you say, listen, you don't understand. He said something or she said something a month ago that hurt me. He said something, she said something a month ago that wounded me. And I just cannot get over what they said. You know what he will tell you here? Instead of gossiping about that person and destroying your friendship, a true friend makes the choice to extend grace to that person and chooses to cover up that offense, even if forgiveness was never asked for. That's the picture he just gave us. Shakespeare put it this way. He said, a friendly eye is slow to see small faults. It's exactly what Solomon was saying. You want to be a good friend? You have to be slow to see small faults. And then if there is a small fault between you and another person, instead of talking behind their back about what they did, make the choice to forgive them, to cover up that small offense, even if forgiveness was never even requested. A friend is one who forgives. Let me give you one final thought, and then we'll be finished. A true friend is one that puts others before themselves. A true friend is one that will put others before themselves. In John 15:13, Jesus said, no one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friend if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants anymore, because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. When I think about the model for friendship, I automatically think about Jesus and the relationship that we have with him. Proverbs 18:24 says, one with many friends may be harmed, but there is a friend who stays closer than a brother. Listen, that's Jesus. What kind of friend is Jesus? He just told you. He is the friend that stays closer than a brother. He's also the kind of friend that demonstrated the greatest kind of love that's ever been demonstrated in the world. Galatians 2:20 says, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You get that? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for sinful people. That's friendship. That's love. And that's exactly the kind of friend that Jesus was and is today. What kind of friend is Jesus? Let's just review. He's a friend who is wise, and he's a friend who points us to wisdom. He's a friend who picks us up when we fall down. He's a friend who loves us at all times, and he sharpens us as disciples of Christ. He's a friend who forgives us over and over and over again. And he's also a friend who put our lives before his own when he went to the cross and died for the sins of the world. What kind of friend is Jesus? He is a complete friend. And he's also the friend that shows us what friendship really looks like. Jesus tells us, until our vertical friendship with him is right, our horizontal friendships on this earth are always going to fall short. So may I just ask you a question this morning? Are you truly a friend of God? I mean, when you think about that, Jesus is talking to a group of people. He's saying, you are my friends. Could Jesus say that about you right now? Are you that kind of friend to God? Do you have a relationship with Jesus to the point where Jesus would say that about you? Some of you hear that question and you automatically think, no, listen, I know who he is and I've sung songs about him and I've read stories about him, but no, I wouldn't call us friends. We don't really have a relationship. Would you just consider today giving your life to Christ? I just wonder if there's someone that says, I want to be a friend of God. I want to be saved. I want Jesus to forgive me of my sins. I want to walk in relationship with the God who created me. Did you know you could do that today? Some of us hear that question, are you a friend of God? And we would have to say no. I believe God calls you to a decision today. It's yes or it's no. Some of us hear that question and we say yes, and praise God for that. Many of us in here know Jesus. We're a friend of the Lord today. May I ask you a question? Are you listening to his voice? Or are you listening to somebody else's voice? Is he the one leading you today as you navigate in this journey called life? And let me ask you this, are you being a friend to others in the same way that Jesus has been a friend to you? I believe there's a challenge here for all of us today. What kind of friend are we? And what kind of friend is he? You know, we've been talking about a friend that sticks closer than a brother. For every one of you joining this broadcast today, there are two key points to consider. Number one, do you know Jesus? Can you call him a friend? And is he your Lord and Savior today? Do you know God today? But also, whether you already know Jesus or have just started in a journey of faith, how are you being a friend today? Take the opportunity to be a friend to someone in this moment. The Bible says, as I have loved you, so you ought to love one another. And hey, we love hearing from you and meeting those of you who are joining the broadcast. We'd love to hear your story this week. Connect with us online by sending a message and consider encouraging these broadcast efforts by giving as well. Thank you for joining the broadcast today. Tune in next week as we continue this wisdom series and open up God's Word together.